Hello again and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, a podcast where two best friends and TV writers basically invite you to be a silent guest at one of their lunches. I am one half of this podcast, Last Week Tonight writer, How to Fight Presidents author, and the last unmarried wife guy, Daniel O'Brien, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Soren Bowie. Soren, say hello.
My name is Soren Bowie. I am the other half of this podcast. I'm an ex-climber, ex-kayaker, ex-actor, and ex-boyfriend to the girl who played Jenny in Forrest Gump.
Child Jenny, not Robin
both.
Wright.
Both. It's weird.
Correct?
Yeah.
Data both. Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
What a coup.
And then also Sandra Bullock. I mean, not Sandra. Oh, damn it. That would have been Sally Field.
Sally Field. I guess I want to say, like, the age that Sally Field was at the time.
They aged her up.
No? Oh, yeah, that's right. She died old. All right. That's fair. You said ex-kayaker. You're never going to kayak again?
No, I hated it. It in high school because everyone else was doing it. That sounds really funny. I was kayaking in high school because everyone else was. But
oh, yeah. Same as my high school, too, bro. Same as Raritan High School in Hazlitt, New Jersey. All the cool kids were kayaking down fucking off the Keyport
Pier. This is also river kayaking. This is like whitewater kayaking. This is like, no joke, I'm going to die kayaking. And I hated it. I was scared of it. I don't like water sports. But I pretended to like it because all my friends were very into it. And they'd be like, oh, we're going to go boating. Or we're going to go boof. That's what they called it. Because when the boats hit rocks, okay, they make a boof sound. So like, we're going to go boof. And I'd be like, yeah, me too. And they're like, well, Soren, when are you getting your boat?
So
I'm like, soon, man. I was at Summit yesterday and I was going to get one. And then at the last second, I was like, oh, I don't have no money. And I just didn't want to do the sport. I hated it.
Okay, so this is actually very helpful to me. So at his confirmation hearing, when Brett Kavanaugh pulled out his calendar and said, on this day, me and Soren and these two girls we'd been slumming it with are going to go boofing. That was kayaking?
Brett.
Oh, that's Brett totally innocent.
Well,
oh, wow.
And then we kayak to this little like island in the middle of the river, and then we would do whatever the dirty stuff was. Yeah.
Okay. All right. That makes more sense.
But yeah, they would go boofing, and they would go boofing in the winter. And I hate it. Like, they put on their wetsuits, and they go to the first time I ever kayaked was in the snow. It was snowing on that day. And I was like, why do we do this? And then I've also had experiences where, like, I got pinned on rocks upside down, which is, the river's moving pretty fast. You're not supposed to hit a rock sideways. I hit a rock sideways and got flipped over. And when that happens, the force of all of the river is pushing you against the rocks. You can't get off. And so I was just stuck there, and I had a harrowing moment, and decided this was not the sport for me.
Man, I'm also, like, I've done, like, very safe, timid kayaking before. I have a scary version of kayaking that is on my fishing bucket list that I'm still too nervous to really attempt. But, like, I watch these videos of these fishermen who just fish off a kayak. They've got those, usually, like, those pedal kayaks. And they go out with those. And they're just these guys who are in, like, deep waters in the out of, like, San Francisco, like, Pacific Ocean, and they've got their nets, and they've got their cameras, and they've got usually two or three fishing poles going, and they're fighting big fish out in the middle of this water, and it's so scary to me. Like, I fall under the best of circumstances. I crash into things all the time. I'm a very clumsy person, and I just know me on a boat strapped into this tiny banana kayak fighting a fish, I'm gonna, like, completely lose my shit and fall over and possibly die. But it's still a thing I really want to do because there's something so, like, pure fisherman about it to me. Just, like, person in small boat catching a fish with their own pole and then catching it with their own net and then, like, dragging it back to shore to clean, cook, and eat it.
Yes, I understand the romance of that, and I am on board with that. Like a sea kayak where you head out on your own, and if there's no motor, so it's quiet out there, you're self-propelled, and then, like, yeah, you find the food to sustain yourself, bring it home, and cook it up. My son understands that as well, because we watched a video just on, like, finding mussels. Just he loves tide pools, loves the idea of them, and wants to go to tide pools constantly, but because of this one YouTube video we saw with this guy the English coast somewhere,
was finding mussels and clams and crabs and things, and he knew what all of them were. He knew you had to pour some salt down these little holes to get one of the clams mm-hmm. to come up. And then he cooked them all up right there on the beach. And my son was just like, yes. And and now every time we go, I take him to tide pools. And he, every time we go, he's like, let's cook this. And I'm like, we can't. we're not allowed to. I don't know what any of these things are. I'm sure many of them are toxic. Thanks to MyBookie for supporting Quick Question. Winning season returns at MyBookie. Winning season means Survivor, Super Contest, and Squares. Invest in your intuition. Use promo code QQ and double your first deposit. New players get up to $1,000 in free play.
Thanks to Postmates for supporting Quick Question. If you're like me, you probably start thinking about what to eat for dinner while you're eating lunch. I love food so much. That's why I love using Postmates. And for a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. To start your free deliveries, download the app and use code QQ. That's code QQ. Let's get into the show where we ask each other questions and give each other answers. Before that, as we've been doing since March, we like to do a quick check in with the quarantine and COVID and how that's going. I got a quarantine update.
Yes, do a COVID update.
Yeah. At what phase of California's reopening is it safe for Bacon to come to your house and start doing his fucking job of being on this podcast again? What's Newsom's take on that? Phase 11? What are we doing here?
At the very least, he could buy a mic with the exorbitant amount of cash I'm sure we're earning with this podcast.
Absolutely.
And get to work from his own little hovel that I've been to. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't call it a hovel. He's really got a manse of sorts. It's like three bedrooms. It's really nice.
Yeah. Sounds like one of those rooms could easily be a podcast.
There's one that exclusively is that. There's one that's like that for that and then his Star Wars Lego ships. And honestly, I can't imagine he's filled that entirely up with just Legos.
And records, I'm sure. I'm dragging him because I miss him and I want him back on this podcast. And also because, like, hey, man, we're doing it.
You should have to, too.
Yeah.
I would love to have Bacon back on here. I value his assessment of things. When we can't come to a real solution, we check in with him, and he's very sage.
Yeah.
Well, Dan, I've got a quarantine update as well. Mine is... Yes, thank you. I hesitate to even like tell this because it's not fun, but I'll give you the rundown of like how it happened. And maybe that will help. I can make it a little funner. So my son's birthday was recent. We went to a cabin out in the middle of the woods cause I want to take him camping, but there's not really good camping in LA where you can get the good distance you want from people and not have the kind of hygienic opportunities you would have in a real four wall house. So a cabin in the woods felt like the next best thing. We went to a really nice high elevation cabin. It was cool. In the middle of our trip, we drive into the town and we actually have cell phone service and we both get a text from our nanny who we had been having a nanny come since my son can't go to school to take care of him or to take care of my daughter when we need to work. And she contacts us, we call her, she's got COVID. Yeah. So we'd just seen her not that long ago. We'd seen her like 4 days ago. And
I know this is about your family and I'm very interested in that. How is she?
Well,
all right.
So that's the thing. She's not dead or anything. She got very, very sick. It was really hard on her. It was hard on her husband also got sick enough that he had to go to the hospital. So we, for a while we were trying to check in, cause none of us, like, I mean, we waited a long time in that cabin. We were just like sitting in this cabin, deciding if we should go back home, to try to decide what we should do, and just sort of like waiting for somebody out of the four of us to get sick. And not going into the town anymore, like not getting groceries, just living off of what we had. And we didn't. And then we came back, we got tested that week, and then we got tested again the next week. And we all came back negative. And during that time, we'd been trying to contact her because we're trying to like find out what she needs. We know that the house that she lives in, it's further west, but it doesn't have air conditioning. That's pretty common in LA, like houses in Santa Monica and stuff just don't do air conditioning.
Yeah, because normally the ocean breeze is enough. You can have a fan and open your windows, and it's generally right. pretty cool.
But we also had that terrible heat wave recently. And so we knew her fever was spiking, and she was staying in a room that didn't have air conditioning. And she's staying in her room because she has a daughter who's now a grown woman, but living with her, who was taking care of her while her husband was in the hospital, but she didn't have COVID. And so like basically she's just bringing food to the door. And then my nanny was opening the door. She would get the food and go back in, but she was getting so weak that she couldn't like go to the bathroom and things like that. So it was a very scary time when we were texting with just her daughter, because after a while, even she couldn't text. And we weren't sure what was going to happen. We weren't sure what was going to happen with her husband. It sounds like they're both on the mend now, which is really nice. They're both getting better. And we're actually texting with her again. And she was like, it was really strange. She was like, I assume you've found someone else by now. And I understand that if you don't want me to come back. And we were like, are you kidding me? Like, take as much time as you want. And we were trying to bring her things that, but she did, she was like refusing everything. She didn't want us to come by or anything like that, even to the house. Cause she was so scared. She was so scared that she had given it right. to one of our kids. And, now she's on the mend. I imagine we'll see her probably in like 20 days or whenever she fully recovers. But there was a really weird time where we didn't know how she was. We were lost in the woods and just sort of all of us sitting around like, is that a tickle in my throat? What do I feel? Am I out of breath because of the elevation or because I've suddenly got something?
Yeah. You can talk yourself into anything.
And it's really psychosomatic. You start to feel bad. I mean, you start to think, no, I've got something. Yeah. I have something. And then you get the negative test and you're like, I feel great.
Yeah. Right. Like the morning I'm going to visit someone for the first time, I wake up and I was like, I think it's possible that I contracted COVID sometime in the night alone in my bed. That seems what's happened. I'm shaking and sweaty.
Yeah.
Couldn't possibly just be nerves.
Yeah. And I swore that the last day we were there, I was like, it's getting worse. I had a terrible headache and my throat was a little sore. And I was like, God damn it. I could feel something coming on. And it was a very zombie bite moment where I was like, do I tell my wife and scare her? Or do I just try and muscle through this and hope that I don't turn? And it must have just all been in my head, or is altitude sickness? I don't know what it was.
Yeah. Oof. Well, I'm glad that they seem to be on the mend. If there's anything that I or the QQ listeners can do, let us know. If there's like mounting medical bills that need to be paid, I'm sure we could do a GoFundMe or redirect some of our Patreon funds towards that. I actually don't know if we can legally do that.
Our family will deal it with her family. I feel fine with that.
Cool. Okay. Well, that's a bummer. Should we?
Yeah,
end the
I think
show?
So. I was thinking of ways to make it better, but there's just not really a good way to say that I know someone who almost died.
Yeah.
But it was very scary. It was scary in terms of like, not because we were concerned, oh, well, what does that mean for me? It was scary to know someone who had it and was that you care about, who was suddenly very sick and you couldn't get in contact with
them. It makes it very personal.
Anyway. Yeah, let's get into the show. I got a question for you, Dan.
Okay.
It's COVID related. Do you know anyone who... No. My question for you is... And I know that you have this because you're the same as me in this respect. What's the public place you found during this COVID, during the pandemic that you feel like is undiscovered, that it's like, it's just yours?
It's not undiscovered and it's not just mine, but there's a spot along the Hudson where there's a bridge that you walk along, a small bridge, and there's water on one side and there's often water on the other side of it, and then there's grass and a sidewalk, and in the middle of this water there's what normally, depending on the tide, looks like just an island sitting there, just like a tall piece of earth with some concrete on top and some grass poking out of it. And if you get there at the right time when the tide is not there. You can climb up that thing and then just sit on it. And then the tide comes in and then you're sitting on a nice little island and it's just yours. And I've gone there to do yoga. I've gone there to read and I've gone there to just like sit and be a thing that even if the water doesn't come up and I'm just sitting alone on this tall column, everything about it communicates, don't come near me. I'm climbing distance away, and it's very clear that no one goes up there to be, because I'm not the only one who's ever been up there, but no one goes up there to be like, come on, it's a party. We're all partying on this fucking tube of earth that juts up into the sky. It's very, very obviously like I'm on this pillar surrounded by empty space.
Respect. And do it. People, no one and ever comes do. Out there?
No, every once in a while you'll see people who, usually people who want to take pictures up mm-hmm. there. You can always spot them. And they'll make sure they stand in your eye line to communicate, hey, we want to turn yeah. too. And as frustrating that as that is, I try to respect that because I don't own the land. I don't own the space or anything like that. But it's also just like, I've never done that. If I saw someone in my spot, I wouldn't stand there and be like, I'm not putting my quarters on the pool table to be like, I got next. I just think like, okay, I don't have my right. spot today. So change your plan and go somewhere else. Take a long walk, come back, see if it's open then.
Yes. It's interesting to me that in big cities like the ones we live in, that you still can find these little tiny places that do feel like yours. And that's not just specific to the pandemic. That's something I know you would find here in LA. That's something you found in New York before yeah. it. That's something I always hunt out. And it just means a lot more now that there's the virus because you need to get outside and you need to go do something, but you also don't want to be surrounded by people because it just makes you so anxious. I've got one that I go to with my family. It's a tide pool that we found, down in San Pedro, mm-hmm. which is like a bit of a drive from LA.
Yeah.
But you go down, I don't know if people are familiar with the geography, but that's like, those are the main ports of Los Angeles. Everything that comes in through LA comes through San Pedro. So as you drive down, you look out onto the water and there are what look like these giant brontosauruses out there that are the cranes that move all of the shipping crates. And mm-hmm. If you drive past those, you can go down this little coast and there's like a car culture down there. Every time I go down there, there's a bunch of people in old timey cars. And they kind of cruise this one grassy strip. But if you hike down below the strip, there's actually a hole in a fence and you can go down a hillside down to like the cliffs, down to the water. It's just these cliffs and then water. So it's really tough to get down to them. But there is one way where it's a pretty steep. I put my son on my shoulders generally and we can kind of like skid down to the water. And then you're down on the rocks and the water. And there's maybe... for like you can look in a mile in each direction, you might see two other people while you're there, and it's great. Just our spot, and we go there a lot. We go there and we see all kinds of floral and fauna. Like we see anemones and crabs, and then the other day we went and there was just this seal sitting on a rock, like hanging out. And seals are very funny when they sit on rocks, 'cause they're not like sea lions that have those wrists where they can like prop themselves up. Seals are always yeah. just perpetually on their back, like somebody like lying on a couch who doesn't have the energy to get up to say hello. They're just like,
oh yeah,
up?
they're every one of them. They're it's like just a herd of Homer Simpsons collapsed on the beach. It's always amazing.
It's real fun.
It's always like, I'm not really sure you're getting back in the water from right. this. You don't right. look like. It seems like you've been here for a while, and you lack the upper body strength required. Yeah,
and their fins are like. Just like hung to their body, so it's like it's almost like a T-Rex on its back. Like they don't they're not yeah. there's no way they'd have to roll in. There's no other way for them to get into the yeah. water, and it's really fun to watch.
But
them.
the thing I respect about them is that they've always got a look in their eyes that is like, I don't need help, I'm content to die if that's what's gonna happen.
Yeah, they kind of look at you with these big black eyes and then they just roll their head back and they're like, I'm just waiting for it to come and get me. But yeah, we saw seals. Every time that we've been there, we've seen something new, dead stuff. Like it's real fun. And he's way, way into it. And it definitely feels like everyone in LA is trying to get out of their house and they're trying to go somewhere, and they're trying to go somewhere that's fun, especially families. And to have discovered a place that no one else goes to because it's kind of a little dangerous to get down to it is just like the thing I needed the most.
Yeah. That's nice that your thing to get away still involves your family. Do you miss having, is there anything that is like, and now it's Soren's time, like I'm going to go work on the hot rod, like in Home Improvement, or do you crave like dad time by yourself somewhere, or
anymore.
It's like an interesting, you framed the question as like, where do you go just to be by yourself for me? And your answer for it was, I take my family on a magical trip to the sea.
Yeah, I used to need that a lot, and I don't as much anymore. The way that I fulfill it for myself is just like projects around the house that I know that my son will be bored by, my wife doesn't want to do, but it's still investment in the house. Like she wants me to be doing it. So I don't have to feel bad about like I've been building a lot lately, especially now that we thought we had to quarantine for 2 weeks because we weren't sure if we had COVID. I was just like building. I built a bench that I think is very cool for the front of our house. And then it's building it, and then it's sanding it down and priming it and then painting it. And like that whole process is mine and I don't have to share it with anybody. And that's where I get that.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty good.
How many times have you been watching a game and thought, of course I knew this was going to happen. I should have bet on this game. Well, now you can. Winning Season returns at MyBookie, and Winning Season means you could double your first deposit. If you're so sure about it, put your money where your mouth is. It's very easy to do. Winning Season means Survivor, it's Super Contests, and it's Squares. You can bet in any category that you want. You can bet on anything that you want. That's why MyBookie is always the right play. You bet, you win, they pay. Trust yourself. At MyBookie, Winning Season means hitting all of your parlays and props with your feet up, watching your team trounce their rivals. Hey everybody, it's football season again. This is the best time to be betting, and you can invest on your intuition. You could use promo code QQ and double your first deposit. The other thing is that new players get up to $1,000 in free play. That's designed to add more excitement to the sports you love and the games you bet on. Not only can you bet and win and be happy about that, but you can watch your own team win at the same time. It's win-win, basically. From live betting to championship futures, every play you want to make is waiting at MyBookie. It's simple. You make picks, win big, collect your cash. That's it. Use promo code QQ and double your first deposit. Your winning season begins today at MyBookie. Up to $1,000 first deposit bonus. Double your first deposit. Use promo code QQ to activate your offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code QQ when creating your account to claim the bonus. Bet, win, get paid.
I got a quick question for you. Unless you want to keep talking about benches.
It's a nice bench, man. Except I can't lift it.
It looks great. You sent me a picture of it and it looks
incredible.
I painted
it today. I can't lift it. I need help.
Okay. I can't this weekend, but maybe January if we have a vaccine.
Mm. Okay. Yeah, no, I think that's fine. Okay. And then I can give you your birthday present too.
No,
it's not done. I should check in with him and see if it will be done by then. Okay. So I've talked to people in my real life who listen to this podcast. Very disconcerting, by the way, to know human beings that listen to this podcast.
Oh, it's the worst.
And
shout out to my mom and dad. I love you guys.
And they're like, is that just a bit, right? You don't actually have something for him. And I'm like, no, I definitely do. And they're like, well, just tell us what it is. And I was like, I can't, because it can't possibly get back to him.
Right. And it would get, if you told one person, it would get back to me.
Yeah.
I've got my birds
That's
everywhere.
True. I don't know who to trust. I don't even trust my own kids.
All right. I got a quick question for you. What's something you never under any circumstances want someone to watch
Masturbate,
you do?
Poop.
And I can
cry.
Okay. All right. So let me keep talking. It's not like a bathroom thing, and it's not a sex thing or like a traditionally embarrassing thing. Like I have a short one to illustrate this, and then I have a longer one that I'll dip into. Like the short one is, at some point in the evolution of phone technology, they've they've stopped taking into consideration people like me with stupid fat thumbs and Homer Simpson fingers. So one of my nightmares, like I like actively think about it, is if I am in like a college lecture hall and I'm sitting in the front of the lecture hall doing the crossword puzzle or texting on my phone, and then projected behind me is everything that I'm typing, because there are so many typos, because I just can't quickly text anything or manipulate these numbers and letters in an efficient and slick way. And so the nightmare is it's all projected, and like my closest friends and family are watching me do it, and they're watching me fill out the crossword puzzle, and it's like wrote Cat in the Hat, and they see me typing Dr. Soups, and they're like fucking roasting me from the crowd, like, oh, was it Dr. Soups? Did Dr. Soups tell you that? I'm like, stop it! The letters are close together.
So am I. I
clearly know the answer.
I'm sympathetic to that. I have a hard time typing on my phone, and I have spelling errors all the time. And my strategy has just been to leave it, to just say fuck it. As you know, because when we text, I'm just like, he'll know what that means.
Yeah. And I do, and that seems, and that's like a much more confident and reasonable approach to engaging with this new flawed technology. But I'll go back and fix typos, and it makes all of my texts take way longer than they need to. And it's again even worse with the crossword puzzle, because I'm going for time at this point. I'm trying to get the Monday puzzle done in like 13 minutes. And the idea that anyone could see how long it takes me to write Oreo is just devastating.
Well, that O, the O and the I, for whatever reason.
I know.
It's just like a nightmare up there in that corner.
And the difference between text and crossword is like their crossword won't autocorrect for you. They will let you spell Oreo, Erio. Oh. And then when you try to solve the puzzle at the end, they'll be like, ah, not quite, buddy. You screwed something up.
So does it...
You called her Princess Diaka.
is there a time limit that they set? Like, can you do a timer on the site, or are you doing that? Is that your own thing?
They just tell you when you're done how quickly you finish the puzzle.
That. I hate that.
Yeah. And like, it's easy. Like they do. So the New York Times crossword puzzle has two puzzles every day. There's the mini that is like a 5x5 or a 6x6 thing, like a very easy puzzle. And the goal for that is always finish this under a minute, which I generally do. And then the rest of the puzzles, they start out the easiest Monday, the proper puzzle, and then they get increasingly harder until they get to Sunday. And I fuck off, lose Sunday all the time. But my Monday and Tuesday puzzles, I'm getting to like 13 and 14 minutes, and that's a good spot for me. The guy Rex Parker?
Tillerson.
The guy I talked about in a previous podcast who... Rex Tillerson, yes. The guy who like reviews the crossword puzzle, he does these in like 5 to 8 minutes, which seems superhuman to me. And I'm not going to come anywhere near that, but I'm happy with my 13, 14, 15 minute completion rate for my Monday and Tuesday crosswords.
Imagine just having that arsenal of words at your disposal that you just, and you, yeah, you know how they're filed in your brain, and you can just pluck them up from any time you want.
Yeah.
I'm so jealous of that. Anyway, that's a good one. I would say that the one that I've always had is I'm very uncomfortable with the idea of anyone seeing me sleep.
Really? Yeah. Because you sleep... Well, I guess you do it secretly.
Yeah.
But like when we've been on long film shoots, you've slept. Yes.
And I squirrel away somewhere.
Yeah.
Where no one's allowed to see me. And I only tell the second AD... this is where I will be, and I need you to wake me up when it's time.
Right. You climb up into the rafters and then like pull up the ladder behind you so no one can get there.
It's very important to me that no one sees me sleep. It's such a vulnerable thing, and you're not in control of yourself at all. And so I do a lot of those jump starts. You see people on planes do every once in a while when they fall asleep on a plane.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, yeah, I do that all the time.
Suddenly their arms are like fling in the air. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, everyone. And I also, I can't, my mouth hangs open and I snore, which is like my greatest shame, snoring. Mm-hmm. It feels, I've been, I don't think this is from me, by the way. I think that I've, it's been instilled in me from different people that like snoring is something that gross people do.
Yeah, that's like a TV thing.
Yeah.
That's like Homer Simpson snores, Marge does not. Barney will snore the second he falls asleep, but like Troy McClure will not. It's always been associated with like slovenly people.
It's a moral failing that I snore.
Yeah.
And I can't help but internalize that. And I know that I snore, and I know that I snore loudly. And so I don't like sleeping around. I have like, I have to be in one very specific position not to snore. And I can't always achieve that if I'm in somewhere like on a film set. And so I need to be somewhere where people don't see me with my mouth hanging open, potentially snoring, with like my arms flinging around. And I also will occasionally wake up to drool. And
yeah,
I it's just so humiliating to be that vulnerable in front of another human being that I never want other people to see me in that circumstance.
Right. They're seeing you in a place where you have no control and you don't like that.
Oh, it's the worst. Yeah.
I've engineered my life in such a way that very few people see me sleep. So who wins here? Problem solved. Checkmate, Soren. Right. Do I snore or scream in my sleep? No one knows.
Oh, that's the other thing, is I occasionally wake up from dreams trying to scream and I can't. So it just comes out as like a little whimper. And it's like, you can tell that I'm trying to do something, but I can't. And I imagine it must be sort of horrifying to somebody else who sees it. But that's very embarrassing too. And my wife is over it. She was like, she doesn't wake me up. She's like, oh my God, are you okay? Are you okay? Everything's all right. Everything's all right. She's like, you're doing it again. You're right. I'm so sorry. Let me just turn into the one position I have. And this is how I will sleep the rest of my life.
Oh, that's a good one. Soren, I have a Postmates story for you.
Yes.
So I normally reserve Postmates for like a dinner thing. Like it's the end of the day.
Yeah, and it's a treat.
It's a treat. But I recently won an Emmy. And the next day I wanted to absolutely treat myself because we were deprived of the normal Emmy festivities, and so I did a thing that I don't normally do. I ordered an extravagant sushi meal from Postmates for lunch, and it couldn't have gone better. I put my order in, it showed up promptly, and I ate delicious sushi from my favorite sushi place, and I loved it so much, and really felt like I was a king in my own little kingdom.
You really have to trust your delivery service to deliver a huge plate of sushi.
I know. And like the order that I got, it's like literally on the menu called Trust Me. So, and it all came through. The food came through and the delivery person came through. And it was so great. And it's opened up so many doors. I mean, it's opened up an additional door. So now I'm doing Postmates for dinner and lunch.
Yes.
That's the door that's opened. And speaking of which, if you're like me, you probably start thinking about what to eat for dinner while you're eating lunch. I love food, which is why I love using Postmates. And I actually love them even more right now because I can get food delivered without even leaving my apartment. I don't even have to open the door because what's going on in the world, they do this new non-contact deliveries. So now when I order from local restaurants to support them or my favorite sushi place, everything gets left right outside my door. Obviously, I don't leave the sushi out there for too long, just a day or two. They also have Postmates Pickup, which I've been using to order takeout from my favorite local restaurants. Hey, listen up. You guys need to be supporting your neighborhood spots right now. I've only been ordering local because it's a great way to support my community. Which is, I know I'm aggressive, but that's actually a thing I do. I don't want any of my restaurants that I go to close, so I make sure a couple of times a week I order from them and I go through Postmates. And Postmates doesn't just deliver burgers and sushi. They've actually made my life easier by picking up everything I need from Walgreens and 7-Eleven and dropping it off outside my door. This is another true thing that I had a road trip that I was doing, and it was coming right at the tail end of a work week, so I didn't have time to get, like, I wanted road deodorant and chapstick and, like, all the things that you want on a long car ride in a small bag. And so I just went through Postmates and got them all delivered from Walgreens right to my house. Saved me a trip. It was great, super convenient, and I want to pass that convenience on to our listeners. And I can just download Postmates on iOS or Android. Find your favorites and get anything you want delivered within the hour. And for a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free credit for your first 7 days. To start your free deliveries, download the app, that's Postmates, and use code QQ. That's code QQ for $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. Anything you need, anytime you need it, Postmate it. I have another one. This is another thing I did that I didn't... I was humiliated to learn it. It was a thing that I didn't know I was doing that you actually pointed out to me years ago, and it was horrifying.
Oh, no. So, I'm so sorry,
this
Dan.
Is going to... No, it's fine. This will be a bit of a story. So we all had many jobs at crack.com when we worked there, and one of yours for a time, this is all for our listeners, you know this, was inexplicably running our entire merch store. And part of your responsibilities included handling photo shoots for staff members to model cracked t-shirts for ads, because we thought people would see prominent cracked fixtures wearing shirts and would then buy them, I guess. So I'm modeling some of our shirts, and there's a photographer, and you're barking out orders for what looks and poses you want me to give and do. And in my memory, you're honestly doing everything a person in your position is supposed to be doing, which is insane because, like, you had no training in this, but you're complimentary and you're positive and you're doing everything you can to make me feel attractive and comfortable. But it's still, like, a very deeply weird thing, and neither of our lives were set up to land on this destination where you're like, you're giving me money, Daniel, come on.
Where you are a model and I'm a photographer who's like,
right,
we're just fucking you with the camera.
Right, this was not either of our plans, and we're both trying to do our best. You're doing a better job of it than I am. And there was a certain look, like there are some things that I could certainly do where it's like, look like Daniel in After Hours. I'm like, got it. I can look nervous. I can look like inquisitive or thoughtful or whatever. But there was something you were trying to get me to do, and I didn't understand it. I didn't know what you were going for. There was like a communication breakdown where you couldn't exactly get what you wanted out of me. And now for a bit of context, there was a girl who worked in our office, but not with us. So she worked on a different site, and I had a little crush on. We're going to call her Kelly, and we would harmlessly flirt every day. Context established. Now, when you were getting me to do what you wanted and it wasn't working, you said, oh, I know. Stand the way you do when you talk to Kelly in the morning, with sort of your hands like in your belt loops. And I know what you were trying to do. You wanted me to look confident and dare I say, sexy. And you recognized that posture in me when I was talking to a girl I liked, but I was so mortified because I was like, oh, you can see me when I do that? And you know what I'm doing? And like, do you think other people, do you think Kelly sees me? Do you think she knows that I'm like, I'm trying to do confident sexy guy pose? I never would have done it if I thought anyone would see that. It was like a truly devastating moment, because I think there's like, movies have done this weird thing where they make flirting in a movie look really cool, like you're very charmed by people who are hitting it off in a movie. But in real life, anytime I've been at a bar with my friends and be like, hey, look over there, Mike's flirting, it's weird, right? Look at him. That looks stupid. Like, I don't think anyone in real life to a third party observer looks good when they're doing what they think sexy
is. It looks like when you watch somebody else eat when you're already full. You're like,
yes, absolutely.
Oh, really? Is that what we're all doing?
And it's a thing that, like, once you're in it, you don't, you assume it's a private thing shared between you and another person, even though it's in a public space. And the idea that, like, you know what I looked like when I thought I was being sexy is devastating and humiliating.
Okay. Well, not, let me cross-examine the witness for a second. So I remember this, and I, the minute you said that we had these jobs, I was like, I know what he's going to say. Because you did, like, you wore the devastation after that. And I was like, I shouldn't have said that because I just fucked him up. Like, now I'm not going to get it at all. And the reason I was asking you to do that is because it's so hard to, like, you look at the models on t-shirt websites and stuff, which I, something I had to do, weirdly, for my job. And there's a confidence to a model that's very hard to achieve. And that's why they have the jobs that they have, is they're like, they can look so natural in an environment that is not natural at all. And they continue to, like, it's not just for that individual moment. And there's 50 shots that don't work. They look natural for, like, the entire shoot. And, like, they, this is where they belong. And
yeah,
that's a confidence thing. It's like, I belong here is the confidence of it. And you have a great confidence when you are flirting. And that's what I was trying to get from you, is like, you, when you're, I know, like, your posture, I know the way that you move, and it works, Dan. Like, it's a good, it's a good, it's a good flirt. And so,
yeah, but no one's, no, you're not supposed to know that.
And so I was like, I know that's the, that's what I want, is that. And I wasn't going to be like trying to trick you into it. I was like, just give me the thing that I know you have. And then when I said it and you knew it existed and that I was aware of it, it just got locked away in a box forever.
Yeah. It was a thing that I was like, oh, does that mean my boss knows that I was being flirt? Does the whole world know that I was flirting? And, like, this is what I think flirting is supposed to look like. Good God.
But you're right though. Like, that is how it's supposed to look. Like, you weren't doing anything wrong. That's what I wanted, that. I wanted to, like, juice that out of you.
I know. That's what I was trying to say. Like, I know what you were trying to do. You were trying to get me to look confident and comfortable. But it's a thing that I didn't think I was broadcasting to the world around me, which I, in retrospect, I should have known. But it felt the same as, like, if we were doing a photo shoot and you were like, let's see. Do you remember 2 months ago when you were having sex with that girl up against the wall in your apartment? Do that. And I'd be like, oh my God, you saw that? That was for us.
there's a thing that happens now. There have been a number of sketches that we've done where, for whatever reason, I have to simulate sex.
Yeah.
And I've always been,
for whatever reason, I mean, Soren, look at the slim pickings on the ground, man.
I've been always hyper aware of how it looks because, and for obvious reasons, but also because of what you betray about yourself in those moments. And everyone is aware of that, whether they're like consciously or not, they look at it and like, that's how he fucks.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I can think of nothing more mortifying than having to simulate sex in a movie or sketch or anything. It's like, okay, now just pretend you're having sex. Like, the nightmare is I would start, and then the director would be like, oh, that's funny. But no, like,
for real.
Like, actually pretend you're having sex. And be like, oh, no.
And the reason I know it is because I used to be in a sketch comedy group. One of my really good friends was in the group. We did I can't remember what the sketch was, but he ended up coming out in, like, a black unitard, and he had to do, like, this dance, this grinding dance, like he was having sex with the air. And it was so, we were rehearsing it. And I remember watching it in our living room and thinking, oh, that's definitely how he fucks. That's weird. That's a weird thing. I will never do that. I'm going to mentally remember from this moment forward that this is something I need to avoid. And so if I'm ever in a circumstance where I have to do this, I'm just going to make something else up.
Right. I feel like there's no acting in my future. And certainly no one would want to see a dramatized sex scene from me. But on the off chance that does happen, I know I'm going to, in the room, pitch, like, wouldn't it be funny if he was, like, bad at sex or weird at sex? I think it would be better for the story if I was, like, over the top wrong at sex, you know? Let's do that.
And then just...
So I'm in on the joke too.
And then just do what you would ordinarily do. And if they say, that's not weird, you could just be like, that's... Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Win-win for all of us, I think.
That's what I told her too.
Yeah. I think that, yeah, you just have to... I mean, because acting is so much of it is trying to be honest in the moment. Is like, mm-hmm. you're tapping into something else. I mean, not... We're doing sketch comedy. So there's not like some... We're not doing Emmy performances, Daniel. But we are still trying to be as real as possible because that's what makes stuff funnier. And so much of it is very vulnerable where you're like... You're trying to be as real as possible and what you would ordinarily do in those circumstances and make them as real as possible for yourself, you know, as fantastic as they are. And I could see how you fall into the trap of being like, yeah. And so if I want this sex scene to look real and passionate, I have to do it the way like I would know how to do it. And it's the wrong approach every single time. Don't ever do yes. it that way. A little tip for all the right young actors out there.
Yeah. Young actors who are preparing for sex scenes, I guess, who listen to this podcast.
I bet it's a bigger number than you think.
All right, what else?
Well, I have a story for you that I want to tell.
Oh, shit. All right.
If that's all right.
Yeah, I got nothing else.
Okay, great. Now, a few weeks back, you and maybe some of the other connoisseurs will remember that...
Hey, I got to stop you.
Yeah?
I love that. Stay blessed.
Okay, thank you. There was a dog poop incident that happened in my alley where right. my neighbor
oh, that's right.
came out and started yelling at a guy in kind of a whine about dogs pooping in the alley.
Oh, yeah, you did his voice and everything. Can we hear the voice again?
I don't have to show you the camera. I don't have to show you the...
Fuck that guy.
So I basically became that guy this past week.
Oh.
Yeah, there was... a moment where I was working on the bench out on the side of my house and I see this guy on his phone come by and he's talking on his phone real loud and he's got his dog in my, I have like a kind of a xeriscaped yard. Do you know what that means? It's all just like native plants. It's like grasses and stuff like that and then mulch all around it.
Okay.
And it's like it's like heaven for a dog to poop in. It'd be great. And this dog is like, yes, this is the spot. And I, in my mind, was like, I know that all the dogs love it. And dog poops. And then the guy just starts walking away. And I'm standing right there. I don't know if maybe doesn't see me because he's on his phone. And so like, I go out, look and see the dog has officially pooped. And I go, hey. And I point at it. And he goes, my bad. And comes back. And I stand there for a little while he like keeps talking on the phone and starts unraveling a bag very slowly, puts his hand in it. Like this is a big effort on his part, mm-hmm. like with this nice thing he's doing for me,
yeah.
And puts the poop in the bag, and it's not enough for me. And I'm just
you want to see him eat it? What?
I want something else. I'm mad that he was trying to get away with it, and then when he got caught, was just like, yeah, my bad, and like wasn't more apologetic about it. Mm-hmm. And so I was like. So I just stand there. I'm about 6 feet away from him and I'm just sort of like watching and making sure that he gets it all. He puts it in the bag and he notices that he's just being watched by somebody. He's like, are we good? And I was like, I don't know. I guess so. And he's like, is there a problem? And I was like, well, I just didn't think I'd have to supervise this kind of thing. And then it becomes a fight. And
yeah.
Because I've now escalated things. And he's like, what the fuck, man? And then I said, you just let your dog shit right here, like right in front of him. And then you just walked away right in front of you. He's like, I'm having a bad day. And he's still on the phone, by the way. And I was like, all right, whatever. And then he starts to walk away and I start to walk back into the side of my house. And I was like, by the way, wear a mask. And he wasn't wearing a mask. Just because like, I just need him to hurt somehow.
Right. And now you know that you have the moral high ground, so you assume that extends to everything. It's like,
everything
also,
in life.
Also, vote. Also, call your mom. Don't just text her. Call her.
I cannot help. Like, this is something that's happened with age. I think in my younger years, I would have just kind of let this shit go. But I'm so affronted by people when they do something. Oh, you know what? Another thing that really drove me up the wall was like that first when we were kind of like having our altercation. He goes, I said, I'm sorry. And in my mind, I was like, no, you accepted accountability, but you did not apologize. But I wasn't gonna like try to make that argument. And yeah. So I'm just sitting on it and stewing. And then I said, wear a mask. He got very upset, came up onto my property and like came up to me. And he's like, you wear a mask. And I was like, it's my house. And then I did a crazy thing. Okay.
Yes, I love it. God, I love when it gets super fucking hot in Los Angeles and everyone's just ready to goddamn murder a Capulet. This is awesome.
I did a crazy thing, which is I said, and this doesn't make any sense in hindsight, but I at the moment I was like, yes. He came up to me, he said, you wear a mask. And it was like getting like pretty close to me. And I said, I tested positive for COVID. I'm asymptomatic. It's for your fucking protection, asshole. and
you
moment,
lied about
completely you... lied about something that like is hurting hundreds of thousands of people and like used it like I could just pull it off a shelf at any minute and use it. And in the moment it felt really great because he backed up. In a way that was like he was unprepared for that.
Yeah.
It's also the mask is not for his protection. It's for like, I should be wearing a mask.
Yeah, absolutely. You both should be wearing masks. I mean, it's your property, so I understand you're not wearing masks, but
did have COVID, I should not be outside without a mask on. And so
playing by the rules of the universe that you invented, yes, you should be wearing a mask.
And he walked away, kind of like backed away and then walked away, and we didn't say another word to each other. But and at the moment I was like, it was feeling pretty good. And then afterwards I felt just terrible because I was like, I just like used it. I used this terrible tragedy and I didn't feel good about it, Dan. And I felt like I suddenly became the guy in the alley.
Yeah. You, you definitely shouldn't feel good about it. It's a very funny story. It's funnier to me if he's the main character. And when he says, I'm having a bad day, he really means it. And now his day has gotten so much worse. And he gets home to, in the version that I'm creating, he gets home to the two daughters that he's raising by himself because his wife died, let's say, of COVID. And then he's telling them, and they're like, Daddy, 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 what did you bring us? I'm like, I'm sorry, I couldn't. The shop was closed by the... Like, I had it all timed out that I was going to get your... an ice cream cake for your birthday because you're twins and it's your birthday, but I had to stop and clean up this poop, and then this guy yelled at me and screamed his COVID at me, and he knew I was having a bad day. He knew that he didn't know the specifics. He didn't know that I got fired for reporting on sexual harassment and trying to be a whistleblower. He didn't know those specifics, but he knew I was having a bad day. And he yelled at me and like screamed his disease at me anyway. And then at that point, the cake store was closed.
And the pharmacy was closed, so I couldn't get your medication.
I couldn't get any of the medication.
I couldn't get your wheelchair oil. Didn't have any more of that.
Yeah, so that thing is going to be just like creaking until the next paycheck, honey. I'm so sorry. Until the first of, October. That's going to be squeaking for your first day of school, which is virtual. I am... so sorry.
Here's the other part that
you should have seen this guy's bench, though. It was worth it.
After I went from feeling very high to feeling very low, and then back to laughing when I considered what it must have sounded like on the other end of that phone call, because he didn't hang up the whole time, so somebody else caught all of that, and we're just like privy to some weird thing that had happened where he hears on the other end of the phone somebody hears. Hey, off in the distance, and then my bad, and then a fight start.
Yeah, right. In the alternate version where he's not the hero of the story, and I'm the other guy I'm the guy on the other end of the phone. We're just like, I'm having a bad day. I'm like, Jimmy, no, you're fucking not. We were just drinking at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. What are you talking about? Just clean up the dog shit. Hey, guy yelling at him. He's not having a bad day. He's just an asshole.
Right. After the whole exchange, I thought, I bet that other person on the other end of the phone knows this guy sucks already. And they're like, here he goes again. and that was my hope anyway.
Yeah.
But I'm not the hero of the story. This is one of those stories that doesn't have a hero, unfortunately. It would be nice if it did. And then here's the kicker is that as I was like feeling pretty good. I turn around and my son has come around the corner and he's like, who was that? And I was like, oh, like just the thought of having actual COVID was really, and having my son there and everything. I was just like, I feel terrible.
He's just a guy doing his best, son.
This is a guy who sucks doing his best.
Yeah.
Like all of us.
You'd be lucky to turn out like him because he's not a liar like your father.
He doesn't.
He's just lazy.
Use victimhood as his own weapon. Anyway, that's it. Dan, I think that's pretty much the end of the show. I got to go find our outros. I shouldn't even call them that. They're just basically our social media accounts. But while I'm doing that, I wanted to give you an opportunity. I know that people who you like and love listen to this show. Mm-hmm. And I want to give you a chance to tell your dog whatever you want. Something you want to tell him so that everyone in the world knows.
Do you have any more specifics that you want in here? Because like I can wrap this up easy and just say like a bunch of sweet nothings about him.
That's what I want you to do. I want you to have an opportunity to talk to your dog in a way that like it changes. It changes whether you're sitting at home talking to your dog. That doesn't mean anything because you see each other every day. But it means more when you do it in like a public space like this because you want to get it right.
Okay.
So I'm going to let you do that.
Well, Jackson, I've thought about this a lot because it's a common refrain, a common thought exercise rather for people who own pets is if you could effectively communicate with them, if you could like really speak their language, what is the thing that you would most want to impart on them? What kind of complex thought would you most want to instill in your pet? And for me, the thing I think about all the time is I want to establish the concept of time in your brain. I'm not saying we need to have like constant dialogue or anything like that. I'm not wishing for you to have the power of speech. I only want you to understand the concept of time because I want you to know that I'm not leaving forever whenever I leave. I want to be able to say to you, I'm going to be gone for a few hours, or I'm only going to be gone for 2 minutes, and I want that to land on you because I can't begin to understand how scary the prospect of me leaving forever is. And I've seen it in your eyes before when I leave for work. I've seen it when I leave you in the car with my parents, when I'm just running off somewhere to get something, and I hear the devastation in your whines because you think this is the end of our shared world. And if I could change anything about the way you experience life, it would be easing your mind by letting you know that I will always come back no matter what.
That's nice, Daniel.
Yeah, no shit.
A good wish for your dog. Can people follow you on Twitter?
No.
Okay.
I changed it so I have to accept people who like request access to follow me, and I don't do that. It's not like I reject people. I just let it pile up because like if it was the kind of thing where I got email notifications, then yeah, that's enough of an annoyance that I would address it. But I only find out people who are trying to follow me if I decide to click like the more button on the Twitter dashboard. And so if I never click on that, I never need to know. And it feels great.
Okay. Well, then I'm not going to tell people how to follow you anymore. You can follow me on Twitter at Soren_LTD. But here's the thing. If you've got something to say to Daniel or like you want to tell him a thing, don't come to me with it because I'm not going to take it to him.
That is honestly, it is. He's not going to take it to me, but that is the closest you'll get.
Don't do it. That's not the closest you'll get. There's surely another workaround. I'm not your guy. I'm not going to help you. You can go, actually, I would go into Make Me Bacon, Please, and tell him.
Oh, yeah. Follow me on Twitter at Make Me Bacon, Please.
Make Me Bacon, Please. Those are all Daniel-sanctioned tweets. You can also follow Quick Question at QQ_Soren and Dan. You can email us at QQ@SorenandDaniel@gmail.com. And you can hire our producer and sound engineer and editor, Gabe Harder, at GabeHarder.com someday.
Are we seriously not there yet? Hold on. I'm going to pull it up right now on the internet. GabeHarder.com. Get the fuck out of here, Gabe. What are you... What have you been spending your time doing? Gabe, I... Real talk. Love you so much. You're so good at your job, and you're an amazingly calming presence to have here. But what are you doing? You can take, like, some time off from this podcast to work on your website.
A really good bit, I think, Gabe, would be if you came back and you said, all right, I think I've got what I want. And we came back to this, and instead of saying, get ready, something really cool is coming, you just had, like, a construction pit crudely drawn there, and it said, right. like, under construction now.
Yeah. I respect this bit so much.
That's it. All right, bye. Yeah.